We go to the Rebel Wireless Hotline to talk with a great friend from CBSSports.com, Pete Prisco. And, Pete, as we head into this time of year, teams are, like the Browns, are in their mini camps. They begin theirs tomorrow, and then that's pretty well it after this week between now and training camp. So I guess we're at a point of reflection as to some of the key points and areas teams will need to address or think about before training camp starts for most teams by the end of July. Your thoughts on the Browns?
Well, you know, I think they're doing things the right way. I mean, and by that I mean you don't go out and spend money just for the sake of spending money to try and get a quick fix. What you do is you fill in some holes, and I thought they did that with, you know, getting Kruger, although I thought they overpaid for him, and Bryant, who I think is a really good football player. But you build a thing for the long run through the draft. And if you look at their roster, and a lot of people don't realize this, but if you look at their roster, there is good young talent on that team. I love Josh Gordon. I think, you know, I'm doing a thing on breakout players for this week, and he's going to be one of them. I'm talking about breaking out to the point where I think he's going to be an 80-catch guy. You know, you look at the offensive line, good young players on that line, particularly, the right tackle is going to be a good player. I thought he played well as a rookie. You know, Richardson, Whedon, if he can work through and fit into that offense. And then you go to the defensive side of the ball. I mean, you know, Taylor is a good young player. I think Hayden, you know, is ready to take the next step and be a good player. Ward. So they have talent, and they have good young talent, which you want to have when you're building a football team.
You know, it's interesting you say that, too, because I know you weren't very high on this team's chances of doing much in the way of wins and losses going into, like, this past season. Do you see, and I'm guessing some of what you thought about was predicated, a lot of that was predicated on the youth that they had. So are you feeling better that there's quality within the youth of this team that now is a little more experienced?
Yeah, and usually you see these guys, you know, year two, year three, year four, where they take their step, where they're playing at a truly high level. So I think you're going to see more of that. You know, and Hayden, I love Joe Hayden. I just think at times Joe Hayden drifts, and you know, there's maybe he's not always as focused as he should be. If he gets focused, he could be one of the top three or four corners in the National Football League. So those guys, the young guys, they have to, you know, realize that this is their moment and they have to seize. And if they do, they're going to have a chance to be, I'm not going to say they're a playoff team, but if Whedon, you know, and or Campbell or whoever can make throws down the field in that passing game the way North Turner likes it, then I think they have a chance to be an 8-8 team, 6-7-9 team.
You know, you had an interesting column under the heading of pressing questions for all 32 NFL teams heading into the summer. For the Browns, you zeroed in on that corner spot opposite Joe Hayden, talking about Leon McFadden being the likely candidate there, the third-round draft pick, but you also brought up Buster Skrine's name. Give me your thoughts on both of those players.
Well, you know, look, obviously with Hayden on one side, the other guy's going to see a lot of action, and he's going to get thrown at a lot, and it happened last year, and I think it's going to happen again this year, particularly if it's a rookie starting on the corner. But we've seen these young guys come in and play right away, and McFadden's a talented kid. Some people thought he might have overdrafted him a little bit, but he's a talented kid. He's a thin kid. He's a little, you know, on the light side, but I think he's got a chance to step in and play some man coverage. I thought Skrine really struggled last year, and that was a problem. So looking at it on the outside, looking in, I think McFadden will win the job, I do, and probably the right thing to do, but he better be in for a long season because he's going to get thrown out a lot.
Staying on the defensive side of the ball, you're very familiar with the work of Ray Horton, the Browns' new defensive coordinator, and you know that they're undergoing this big transition from a 4-3 to a 3-4. They've tried to add some key parts to it with the Paul Kruger signing in free agency and then drafting Barkevious Mingo in the first round. As you see it, though, and as you saw it in Arizona when Horton was there, Pete, what kind of transition do you think the Browns are in for, and what's your sense of when we'll be looking at this and saying, okay, it's starting to look like these guys are all on the same page and it's working the way it should work?
Yeah, it's going to take time. I mean, you're talking about, like, you know, DeQuell Jackson's going to go to an inside linebacker and have to adjust to doing that. I thought he was a good player in the other scheme. Sheard's going to have to stand up and play a different style of defensive outside rush guy that he's played in the past. So I think it's going to take some time. But, I mean, in Reuben Taylor and Bryant, you have the pieces that you want as your down guys. Now the question becomes who emerges as the rush guys. I think Kruger's a solid player. I don't think he's an elite pass rusher, so we'll see what he can do. He didn't do a lot when Suggs wasn't on the field last year, so that's a concern. Sheard, can he make the adjustment? And is Mingo ready to step in? But they have pieces. And they have, and Ray Horton's a good football coach. I think Ray is the kind of guy that will, you know, the 3-4 schemes are not what they used to be. It's more, they're more hybrid schemes, and you'll see them, you know, evolve in the 4-3 with guys putting their hands on the ground and make it a 4-4 front. So he'll flip things around, and that's why these coaches always say, well, we're not definitely a 3-4 team. We're going to do a lot of different things, because that's what the trend is now, more hybrid than declaring 3-4 or 4-3.
Pete Prisco from CBSSports.com joins us on the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, Pete, as you brought up Brandon Whedon a little bit earlier here, and I want to get more into this, the idea that really whatever development he's going to show in 2013 is going to happen because of what Norv Turner is able to do with him as offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach as far as the scheme that he and Rob Jedzinski put together, and specifically, I guess, the mechanical repairs or enhancements they try to make to his game. Is it realistic to think that coaching can make that much of a dramatic difference in a guy like Whedon from year one to year two?
Well, I think even last year, if you go back and watch his games, there were moments where you looked at him and you said, yeah, he's getting it. I mean, where he looked like an NFL quarterback, and he was making all kinds of good throws and good reads and standing in the pocket and moving when he was flushed out and making throws, and then it would look really bad at times. But how much of that is because he's a rookie quarterback? You know, we've gotten to the point where we expect these rookie quarterbacks to step in and become stars or so-called stars, like, you know, some of those guys did last year, and Russell Wilson and RG3 and Luck. And that's not always the case. Sometimes it takes a little time and talent. I mean, you know, he's working with young receivers as well. I mean, Gordon's a kid. Greg Little's not an older player. So he was working with younger players there last year as well. So I think you add it all up. There's talent there. I think he fits with what Norv Turner wants to do. If they can get that running game cranked up with Richardson and throw a lot of play action stuff down the field, I think Whedon can be plenty capable of doing that.
And speaking of those receivers, that's another thing to focus on this year is Josh Gordon in year two, how much more developed you would think he is both from a physical and a mental standpoint, and Greg Little going into year three, a guy who, again, had a lot of issues with dropping passes and focus and concentration. That all of that seems to look better. And overall, the performance of these receivers and adding Devon Best to the mix has been something that most of us watching these offseason workouts have come away impressed. We've come away thinking that it's an improvement there. Are you seeing the same type of, or expecting, I should say, the same type of development improvement?
Absolutely. And again, the little things, you know, we talk about with Hayden, with the little things, it's the same thing with Little. I mean, the talent's there. You just got to focus, catch the football. I think Gordon, you know, receivers from year one to year two with his kind of talent usually take huge steps forward. I mean, really take big steps forward. And then you look at, you know, Benjamin. I think Benjamin's the guy that intrigued me. I mean, you know, slot receiver, which kind of, you know, surprised me a little bit. They went out and got Devon Best because I think Benjamin has a chance to be a good little receiver, and he's fast. So you add it all up. They have some pieces there. They're young. They have to get better, but the potential is there.
Kind of look with a little broader lens here at the rest of the AFC North. Let's start with the Baltimore Ravens. And one of the points you made again in the big questions, pressing questions for going into the summer for teams is where are they going to fill the leadership void created by the departures of Ray Lewis and Ed Reed? How do you see that coming down?
Well, you know, those guys weren't the same players that people thought they were the past year anyways, but they were good leaders on that defensive side of the football. I think this is Joe Flacco's team. You know, you win a Super Bowl, you're a quarterback, it's your team. They handed you the ball, you went and you did it, and now you got to go into that building and show that you're the guy. There's no Ray Lewis, there's no Ed Reed, there's still some veterans, but this is Joe Flacco's team. So I think they feel it from that standpoint. The other thing is they've done a great job of replacing everybody. You know, that's the one thing about their organization. Ozzie Newsome's fantastic, and Eric DaCosta is very good at what he does. I mean, you look at their losses. They lose Ed Reed. I didn't think he played very well last year anyway. They go get Michael Huff. Now, is Michael Huff Ed Reed from 10 years ago? No. But he can do what Ed Reed did last year. Then you look at, you know, they get Doomerville to replace Kruger. And that's a wash, if you ask me. So they're very good at going out and replacing players, and that's why Ozzie Newsome and the Ravens have done such a great job.
Yeah, they have been impressive. They seem like they drafted well as on top of everything else. The Cincinnati Bengals They've got to figure some things out with their offensive line, but generally speaking, it looks like they've got most of their key pieces in place too, don't they?
You know, we had this argument at the draft with a couple guys when we were doing a show, and if you swapped Colin Kaepernick for Andy Dalton, you might say that they're as talented as the 49ers. Now, that sounds crazy. It really does, but when I went through it, it's not so crazy. The 49ers don't have A.J. Green. The rest of that receiving core is Sanu and Jones and Hawkins. They're all good young. We saw flashes of them last year, and they're all a year older. Jermaine Gresham might not be Davis, but he's not far behind. And they added Tyler Eifert, who's going to be a good player. The offensive line, Whitworth and Smith are every bit as good as Staley and Davis. Wharton and Zeitler are probably a little step below in terms of the guard play. And Robinson, I think, is going to be the center this year, is not far off of Goodwin. So they don't have the great runners, but I think adding Giovanni Bernard will add some quickness to their backfield. And then you go to the defensive side of the ball. Well, Geno Atkins is better than any player on San Francisco's down guys, including Justin Smith. You have the pass rushers in Michael Johnson, who I think is fantastic, and Carlos Dunlap, who's not far behind. Then you had James Harrison, to give him some more pass rush help. The linebackers aren't as good, but you go to the secondary, and you look, Leon Hall is as good as any corner San Francisco has. Reggie Nelson is as good as any safety San Francisco has, and they're expecting big things from Drake Kirkpatrick. So I think if you swap the quarterbacks and you look at the 49ers and the depth of the Bengals, they're not far off. It's just as Andy Dalton has to do more.
Pete, when I think of the Pittsburgh Steelers and think about especially what's happened with them at wide receiver, and saying goodbye to a Mike Wallace is not a small thing, obviously, and the expectation is in Miami that he's going to be a big help down there to Ryan Tannehill. But when I think about the Steelers, I say, but you got Ben Roethlisberger, and fill in the spot with somebody, he'll figure out a way to make it work. Is it that simple, or do they have a serious issue there? And then in a broader sense, how do you feel about their ability to just kind of fill and handle some of the holes that have been created just through age and cap issues?
Well, when you look at their receiving group, Mike Wallace will be lost, but they didn't use him the right way anyways last year. I thought Halley misused him. He's a deep threat, and they didn't throw down the field to him. So how much will he miss? Who knows, in terms of the way they used him. The potential to use him was there, but they didn't use him. So you look at the receivers. I think Sanders and Brown, good starters. And remember, Brown and Sanders and Mike Wallace all were later-round draft picks. They drafted Marcus Wheaton in the third round. He's a kid coming out of Oregon State who can really add to their offense. So I think they'll be okay at wide receiver. Not having Heath Miller coming off the surgery for a while will hurt. I think the offensive line will be better than it was a year ago. Roethlisberger's healthy, and he was playing at a MVP type of level before he got hurt. They think Le'Veon Bell will help their backfield. I'm not so sure about that, but they do. And then defensively, they were getting old, and they're still getting old. Palomalu's not a kid anymore, but they got rid of some of that age, with Harrison and Hampton's gone. And so I think, guys like Steve McClendon have to step up in the nose, and Ziggy Hood, who they drafted in the first round, those guys have to be better. Woodley has to play better. But they're still a talented football team, and with Roethlisberger on the field, they're as dangerous as anybody in the league.
Pete, outstanding stuff as always, and we appreciate you taking the time to join us.
You got it, Vic. Take care, man.
All right, he is Pete Prisco from CBSSports.com. He joins us on the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and we've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.